You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You may not see it again after this for a long, long time. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776 at 7 o'clock. Great to be with you again on this Monday evening. That includes a jam-packed program. Later on, we'll get to why maybe we shouldn't point the finger at Roger Goodell. We, of course, have Beat the Fat Man later on, the inevitable Richard from Manhattan phone call. But we start with why there definitively will be baseball in 2020, but maybe not so fast in 2021. So the owners, in their good faith negotiations, have come back with an offer that was virtually identical to the offer that they made last week. It changes in terms of percentages, it changes in terms of number of games, but it really doesn't change overall financially any terms for the players that make a real difference. Yeah, sure, they're dropping the draft pick compensation for free agents after the season. That's damn big of you. That will open things wide open now into the free agent market. It'll help, but it's not going to make a huge difference. Here's the bottom line. It's a 76-game season that they are proposing, and the particulars really aren't important. It's basically the same as the last proposal. And this proposal, which the players supposedly have until Wednesday to address, you know, is going to be turned down. So we are going to have on our hands a disaster of a baseball season. Think about this for a second. 48 games. Yeah, maybe we'll throw a couple of mics on players. Yeah, maybe we'll play it so you get some different groupings of teams, not just the same old American League East, National League East matchups. We'll do it more regionally based on travel, based on all of that. Give people a different look. It'll look cool. The players say they're ready to report because they're ready to do the right thing, and baseball hasn't been anywhere near as cooperative as it should have been. And the commissioner has the right to implement the schedule. So that's what's going to happen. You know why? Even though there are teams that would much rather not play games this year and save the money, there's no way that Major League Baseball, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of racial tensions in our country at an all-time high, is going to let themselves get blamed for there not being any baseball in the middle of that. So the commissioner will 100% implement a 48-game schedule and a postseason because there's no way they're going to take the blame for that. If the players don't show up, well, then they're striking. That's on them. Players are going to show up. At least most of them will. Some of them may not. Some of the higher-end players may decide they don't want to go out and get hurt this season. Some other players may decide, with the agreement of March 26th, that if they go out and play in one game, then their service time for the year is complete. So maybe all of a sudden, that calf injury that you are now faking is getting worse. Maybe that hamstring's tightening up just a little bit. Don't need to get back out there. You got your season's worth of service time by showing up for one game. Couldn't you see that happening? I sure could. I mean, I'm counting on Giancarlo Stanton getting hurt anyway. But imagine that you're somebody like Mookie Betts, who's going to be a free agent after this year. You want to go out there and get hurt this season? Maybe you'll ramp up to play. You'll play a couple of games and, ooh, my arm, it's broken. I can't play. No, that's absolutely possible. And the worst part about it is The majority of us are going to be out there lapping it up like golden retrievers on a hot day. And that's going to be disgusting because that's what they're counting on. That we are enabling them to act like jackasses on both sides. We are enabling it. We're enabling Rob Manfred to be a bully. We're enabling Tony Clark to continue to operate in an incompetent way and Scott Boras in an unforgiving way. There are going to be bad vibes all around the game. So that takes us to next spring. You know at the end of the year that the collective bargaining agreement is up. You know coming off of this season that there will be horrible feelings between the players and the owners. And you know that if you're the players, your biggest card in your deck to play is striking. So couldn't you see a scenario where next spring we have a walkout? I absolutely could. If they're that concerned right now about falling behind the eight ball because the owners are trying to screw them over in the middle of a pandemic, I could absolutely see them walking out next spring. I don't think there's any question that's highly possible. Beat the owners to the punch of a lockout at the end of the year. Yes, there's going to be a lot of players that are going to need the money. Absolutely true. But at the very least, they'll have a little bit more time to prepare for it. And the owners can scream and yell again about how much money they're losing because they don't have games. I don't doubt that they'd be losing money with no games. I don't doubt that they're losing money right now. I doubt that they're in financial peril. Maybe some teams that are operated poorly. Maybe some owners who have over-leveraged themselves. But if they're dumb enough to do that, they shouldn't be in the game in the first place. Sell your team then. Sell it off. You know, the beauty of it from the owner's perspective right now is that they can claim, we're willing to lose money. We're going to go out there. We're going to save the game. We're going to make sure that even though we're losing money, you, America, will have your national pastime this summer. You'll have it to watch in the middle of a pandemic. You'll have your World Series, don't worry. One that, frankly, I'll watch because it's my job, but I won't give a damn about. I really won't. There will be no meaningful record that will be established this season at all. Not one. A team record, an individual record, a World Series trophy. As I said on Friday, that World Series trophy is the piece of scrap metal that Rob Manfred was talking about back in spring training with the Astros. It'll be sitting next to the propane tank in my garage. That's how much it means to me. The propane means more. At least I can grill with that. I'll tell you, it's sickening on every level. And so I ask you this question again for a third time in 3 weeks. Well, not in 3 weeks, in 3 months. If you're stuck with a crummy season and the potential of a player's strike next year or a lockout after next season, will you go back? And I would implore you, why keep enabling them? I don't want to tell you how to spend your money. I never want to tell anybody how to spend their money. But I also don't want to sit here and say that there's any other way they're going to listen. Think about how poorly owners in Major League Baseball, players in Major League Baseball, are treating you right now, the people that they rely on for their income, both sides. Think about how poorly they are treating you right now. You going back again? I'm getting frustrated with it. I love the sport. I always have. It's been my, it was my favorite sport since the first time I watched it. So many of my personal great memories as a sports fan are based in it. And frankly, with my family are based in it. I'm just so, so aggravated with this. I marvel at the lack of empathy and the lack of understanding and the lack of any sort of a concept that there is civil unrest right now based in racial inequality, that there is a pandemic going on, and this continues to go on right now. I think you could see 48 games this season, a World Series, and maybe you don't see baseball again for another year. At least. 800-919-3776. You going back? I want to hear. You going back? Bring it. Please explain to me why you would. I'm dying to know. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN. And I got to tell you, one last thing about this. I have so many friends that work in and around the game. It's the last thing I want to see. And those are the people I'm thinking the most about, in addition to the fans right now. The ones who financially are reliant upon the game. People who are getting to live out their dreams working in and around baseball, whether it's as a broadcaster, whether it's as a technician, whether it's at the network of MLB, whether it's at all different kinds. My livelihood was based on it in a long time. It still very much is in talking about it, but I'm thinking more about everybody who was directly affected by it and the lack of empathy for them.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Unless there's a vaccine, let's say we go into next March, we're in the same situation as we are in the world. It might not be baseball next year then.
100%, Michael. I've been saying that, like, the worst possible resolution for baseball is that there's no baseball this year. The second worst is that they have this 48-game plan rammed down the throat of the players because nothing would be resolved. All the larger fights would still be there. Coming into the week, my hope was is that the owners would step out because they got the bigger pile of cash. Because they're the long-term stewards of the game, they would make the offer to get in the middle ground and that the players not only would respond to it, but perhaps begin to build something into the future. And to this point, we haven't seen it. You're exactly right. We could be right back having the exact same conversation potentially next spring, except we'll be closer to the end of the CBA, which is a greater complication. And I've had people on the player side talk about the possibility that, you know, next spring you might start to hear about strikes.
That's Buster Olney earlier on Michael Kay's show with Don and Peter. I mean, this is where we're headed. This is where we're headed. And it's so ridiculous right now. And I feel like a broken record in some ways. But when you really get down to it, you find more and more little nuggets that make it even more infuriating as we go along. Just the whole idea that the owners screamed and yelled for as long as they did about asking for a reasonable negotiation, a good faith negotiation. And then they didn't even bother to make a counteroffer for 4 days when we're really up against it here because everybody's trying to push everybody's buttons and everybody's trying to force everybody else to bend. And the owners come back with an offer that is, in essence, the exact same offer. Exact same offer. Carlin's. Let's go. 800-919-3776. Also over at Twitter. And I can't believe that I did ask this question, but I did ask it again. Because it bears asking. Here we are. MLB is going to jam a 48-game sham of a season down our throats and, like I said earlier, we're going to lap it up like water by a Labrador on a hot day. And then next spring, maybe we hear about a strike. So I'll ask you again a month later. I've asked it twice before. You going to go back? First it was 85-15, yes. Then it was 76-24, yes. We'll see where we end up tonight. We'll see how they've gradually ticked you off even more this evening. To the phones we go at 800-919-3776. Noel in New Jersey is up first tonight. Noel, is it Noel or Noel?
It's Noel. Hey, Carlin, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I finally been to get the Yankee season tickets this year, my first year getting them, and I run into this. So I had a question for you, right? Because this is what's happening. The Yankees are refusing to refund your money, and they're saying, well, as the season goes along, yada, 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 we'll do it in
a
month.
Whoa, back up a second. Back up a second. The Yankees are refusing to refund your money.
Because I paid my season tickets ahead of time, correct, right?
Okay, yeah. But my understanding was earlier this year they would refund you for the games that didn't happen, or are they just waiting on that?
Correct. So I got paid for the month of April so far.
Okay.
Right? So, but I told them outright, listen, I have young kids, 3 years old, and, I'm not bringing them to a park, and we've been, kind of told, hey, stay out of big public gatherings. And they refuse to refund anything for the long term. It's like you pay as you go. So are we having a season now where we're going to be paying in silos, or are we going back to the stadiums? Do you know anything about that? Or
The last we had heard is that they were going to offer you the refund for games that would not be played. We're already through the month of May, so to me, if you wanted that money back, you should have already had it.
Yeah, yeah.
And clearly you haven't gotten that yet.
Yeah, and they refuse to do it. And it's a question of ethics. At this point, I said to them, you guys are the richest organization in baseball. If it's being medically recommended not to go to public gatherings like this for at least the 2021, why are you holding us against the, against the door here? With no other, we have to wait and we have to, kind of take this sequence of events and whatnot. So I also wanted to say something about Drew Brees, if that's okay.
Sure.
Let me tell you, I'm an African-American man, and I know Drew Brees' character, right? That's why I wasn't moved when he said that. When I did my research, I found out it was a direct answer to a direct question, okay? Drew Brees is not a jerk. Drew Brees is actually one of the good guys who, through his philanthropy and his just track record. Look at his track record. Has always been for the people. So I wanted to say that on Drew Brees' behalf, as an African-American man, I think he was taken out of context, and he's also done what he needs to do to reconcile that after learning how it was taken out of context. Thanks, Carlin. I appreciate
it. All right, Dan. Appreciate the call. And you know what? On Drew Brees, I never thought Drew Brees was a racist by any stretch. I think he said something that he thought he was saying, it's not something I would do or I'd never support, but he didn't take into account a lot of different aspects of it, unfortunately. And you know what? He's paying the price for it. I don't think that Drew Brees, though, is somebody that in the long haul, after they get this ironed out with his teammates, because he's going to have discussions, I'm sure. I know he's had some already, that they will not be able to get through it. I think that they will. I think that they will. But it was a dumb comment when he said it, because it's lacking empathy for what's going on. Now, on the Yankee ticket front, this was the announcement that they sent out back at the end of April. At this time, the only impacted games are home games originally scheduled to be played in April 2020. Well, now May 2020, that's in the rear view. They had put, if you'll recall, the Mets and the Yankees refund so far down under other options. It wasn't up first and foremost. So they're putting together all these other contingency plans, and what they're talking about, refunds were listed under other options. For more information and other options, please contact, including refund, contact your Yankees ticket representative or visit your Ticketmaster account as applicable. Well, we're through another month. We're through another month of the season. So for the Yankees and the Mets, where's that next month of tickets that we're supposed to get back if we want that? I mean, I'm just looking at the month of May, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 12 games at home in the month of May. All put off. So where's that money? It's a fair question. How about Danny out on Long Island? Danny, how are you, bud?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good, Christopher. The answer to that question would be the money is an interest-bearing account, and the Yankees are going to suck every cent out as long as they can.
And so will the Mets. And so will the Mets.
And that's what they're going to do. So they'll send a check for June, probably on July 1, having kept...
Well, but they haven't sent the check for May yet, and it's June 8th.
Well, we'll see what happens. Listen, yeah. I feel the need to do a public service with something you commented on earlier. Okay. You said he's not as valuable as your propane tank in your garage. I hope for the sake of the Carlin family that your propane tank is not in the garage and is in the shed or outside on the barbecue. Because, boy, that baby go pop in a heartbeat.
Well, I have an extra one. Are you not support? I thought you were supposed
never,
to keep them in
never,
the garage.
Never. You ever notice when you go to the place where you... Where you refill it, where you don't even walk inside of it, they tell you to go right out to the outside, and you don't even walk.
Well, but that's I mean, that's outside of an indoor store,
right?
So where should I put it? So here's my question: where should I put it then? Thank you for very informational here.
You have a shed.
I do not have a shed.
Ooh, now you got a problem then. You might have to build a she shed.
I am not building a shed. There will be no shed building of any sort.
I like what the last caller said on the social.
How far away, Danny? Hang on a second here. You got me worried.
Stick with this.
How far away from the house is it supposed to be?
Well, my barbecue is leaning against my garage, but the thing is, if it ever went, I mean,
No. The garage or the barbecue is just on the patio right behind
that's
the house.
Fine, because it's not inside. That's fine.
I have a spare tank.
I don't know where you would keep that, but it should never be inside. You don't have a shed. That's the issue now. We have to build a shed in the Carlin house. Anyone who can help out, call up.
I gotta go buy one of those little portable ones at Home Depot.
You can even probably buy a little, what do you call it, like a pool box thing.
Anything. Oh, Danny, I got air conditioning problems in my house. I got now you got me building a shed. You know, I mean, come on. It's been an expensive year.
And it hasn't been the best year. And if you have any extra money and you feel like going out to Yankee Stadium and spending $150 on a ticket, you know, you can spend it either in your local hardware store or support one of your local restaurants. But listen, I did like what the last caller had to say about Drew Brees because I didn't support what he said either way. It was his opinion. It was in the realm of reasonable responsibility saying, he said to me, I'm all in for whatever you want to do. I just don't feel like the national anthem is the place to do it. Fine. Okay. That's fine. Like you said, his life work speaks of a good, honorable man. But I also happen to like what Larry Fitzgerald said over the weekend, which was everybody has a voice at the table. Let's work together calmly. Every reasonable, responsible person, white, black, or otherwise, let's talk it out. That's a much better approach than being told by somebody, sit down and shut up. We're in charge. Now, the last person that told me that was my father, and he was right. But a different relationship. So right. I like what Larry Fitz said. That's the way to get to the bottom of any problem. Dialogue.
I think it's 100% accurate, and I look at it with Breeze. He was answering the question. It was not the thing to say at the moment because obviously emotions are at a fever pitch. Not lied, just being like, hey, you know, to each his own at this point. Right. You know, as long as you say something like, it's not something I would do personally, right. But what's great about this country is you have the right to do it.
Right. So like, when they get around to asking Alejandro Villanueva, who parachuted into combat in Afghanistan, is presently the left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We all know what happened when the Steelers tried to sit out the anthem. Is anyone in their right mind going to, and he's a person of color, he's Hispanic, is anyone in their right mind going to tell him that he has to do anything other than what he feels in his heart? No, of course not. He's led a good, honorable life, and he's allowed to make that decision. As far as the baseball is concerned, because anytime we can fit in a little actual sports, I'm all in. Because last
Fire
night
away.
I watched cornhole and darts on television. So anytime, you can use, this is what it's down to. 69 Mets or cornhole.
Oh, my God.
So listen, we'll be back because this is what we like to do. We like to watch the sports. We like to talk about the sports. My wife walks by the television and I says, are you watching the 86 Mets again? Like as if I haven't seen it before. Like it's a 30-year-old episode of MASH. Yeah, I'm watching it again because I have no live sports to watch. I will watch the 69 Mets and say, can you imagine that Tom Seaver pitches the ball every 9 seconds? And then I turn on game five of the 2019 season between the Orioles and the Yankees, and the Yankees winning by 10 runs, and the pitch is taking 31 seconds between each pitch. And we wonder why baseball is falling apart. Because we need a clock. What we need is a catalyst.
Well, they have to be willing to change, Danny, and thanks for the call. They have to be willing to adapt. That's the other problem, is that they're dumb enough to do all of this in the midst of having a real issue with locking in younger people to begin with. And that's an issue right now. Right now, the number's going up, as I would have expected. You can go vote on Twitter, at Chris Carlin. It's the question that we've asked for 3 straight months now. Now that they're going to jam a 48-game season down your throat, and maybe next spring we hear about a strike, are you going back to baseball? First it was 85%. Then it was 76%. Right now it stands at 56. Now we're only got a few hundred votes in, but go there and vote right now at Chris Carlin on Twitter. At CHRISCARLIN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
It's the worst umpire in all of Major League Baseball. I just heard your answer, and I know it was Angel Hernandez. Am I correct? I believe I am. So how about this today from The Athletic? Daniel Kaplan, a few hours ago, on Angel Hernandez. Major League Baseball claimed that umpire Angel Hernandez eavesdropped last July on a league investigative call looking into why a game between the Red Sox and Rays was delayed 15 minutes over confusion about the rules. Now, remember this game? You probably do, because it was so bizarre. You'll remember that Angel Hernandez is suing Major League Baseball. He filed a suit back in 2017 claiming the league racially discriminated against him by not promoting him or giving him recent World Series assignments. Now, Hernandez, for that game, was the acting crew chief. The Red Sox played under protest, but later after the loss, they did not pursue it further. But how about this from Joe Torre? Torre claimed that after the game, you know, they had on August 19th, I'm sorry, a couple of weeks later, they had a phone call interview with several of the umpires involved that night. Well, first they had the call after the game on July 24th and then another one on August 19th. After the game on July 24th, Joe Torre launched an investigation into the confusion, interviewed the umpires. Torre later claimed that Hernandez did not get off the phone when his interview ended and listened to the interview of umpire Ed Hickox. He was supposed to get off the phone because they were all supposed to be interviewed separately, and he didn't, and he listened in. So then on August 19th, had another call with him. On the 23rd, wrote him this letter. These were purposely scheduled separate conversations to ensure confidentiality and avoid the tainting of any recollections. At the conclusion of your interview, unknown to anyone else at the time, you remained on the line. And then Hernandez acknowledged that he was aware prior to the calls that they were intended to be separate and did not dispute that he remained on the line. Instead, offered a number of excuses why you remained on the line. You claimed not to know that you were supposed to stay on, whether or not you're supposed to stay, and you wanted to be available if anything further was asked of you. You stayed on the line. Further justification was that in light of your claim, you only heard portions of the Hickox call. So it goes on, and Joe basically says, you stayed on to hear the whole thing, and we're stripping you of being an acting crew chief. That's not all. These are all claims that are filed back in court filings in response to this lawsuit. MLB's response on the umpiring diversity doesn't apply. That's what they claim, because Hernandez does not have the comportment to be a crew chief or work the World Series. He has received above average evaluations from the commissioner in 02 and 03 before Joe Torre took over. In addition, you remember Torre took over several years later to the July 24th game. Here are some other Angel Hernandez hits. When he was acting as an interim crew chief in 2012, he violated MLB rules by asking Homer Bailey, who had just pitched a no-hitter, to autograph 11 baseballs for himself and the crew. Another time, having three calls overturned by replay in the first four innings of a 2018 playoff game between the Yankees and the Red Sox. We remember that. Torre testified he observed Hernandez in another game throwing his headset after having his call overturned. And then allegedly refused to change his mind on a replay decision from a 2013 Cleveland game. And honestly, if we went down the list here, we could you could really have a festival of Angel Hernandez screw-ups. I'll tell you what, they are going right back at him, and I don't blame them, because he is the worst umpire in all of baseball. Normally, I am very sensitive to, obviously, any claim of racial discrimination. I have seen enough of Angel Hernandez and a couple of others, Dan Iasonia, C.B. Buckner, that are just all atrocious. All atrocious. Doesn't matter what color skin they have. They're bad at their jobs. And Angel Hernandez should not be on postseason games. Should not be umpiring the World Series. Because he's not good. I'm glad baseball's going after him. 800-919-3776. Spike in Jersey, been patient. Hey, Spike.
I'm always patient for you. A couple of housekeeping things here for you, because I got a serious point to make. First of all, having Angel Hernandez as a crew chief would be having you as a general contractor on my house.
Exactly.
That ain't going to work. Now, what do you have heating your home, gas or oil?
Gas.
Okay, then run a line. Of course, your one-time charge, about $100. I don't know how far you can put your barbecue. You got an outside line. Just have the plumber come in. Run a line, and you never have to buy propane again.
All right, that's
simple
fair.
Job. It's a simple job, man. I mean, it's nothing. Puts a little a switch on it there, and you turn it right when you want it off at night, and you put it open, you light it, and boom, it's on automatically. No more tax. If you have
right,
gas.
I got to think about that. Okay.
It ain't hard. All you got to do is go and see where if you have natural gas. Guy comes
okay.
in, but simple. Now, serious note. My age got to catch my breath. I'm up 9 steps. This is the one shot. We talked about it last week, the week before. Maybe you haven't done enough. Maybe I haven't done enough. This is it. I told Kyrie we're on the pre-pickup. We're up at the plate now. I mean everybody collectively in this country. You love baseball. 2-2 count. Smack it into the gap with the bases loaded. Clear the bases, and let's fix this. Let's get the Rooney Rule out. Best person, lady or man, gets the job. Let's get equality for all. It's a big ask, but if we don't do it now, it ain't going to happen. This is it. We're right up there. We got the pitch. We got the sign. Just don't have the guy banging on the ash can. This is the time, man. We got to do it.
Of course it is. And I'm going to talk about this at the top of the hour. I have some more thoughts, and I talked to some more people today around the league. And, I think that there is not just something different about this, because that's what I'm hearing an awful lot about, but somewhere where our, I don't want to say our anger is misdirected at the NFL, but we'll discuss it at the top of the hour where exactly the finger should be pointing right now.
Yeah, one more quick thing. I'll leave you with this. And this is where I think it is, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I think there's an awareness of the millennials, whatever that starts at, whatever number, 92. These youngsters, all these young ladies and young men, there's an awareness. This is unfair not to fix now, and we got to do it for them. We really have to. You
listen,
and I have
Spike,
to do it.
And I think that they're a big part of it, and thanks for the call. I think they have been working. I think millennials in this case really have been a big part of it, believe it or not, in a very positive way. We're always ripping the millennials, but I got to tell you, I mean, they have been out in front about this kind of stuff. And it seems like they've been a big part of this, too. We'll talk about it some more at the top of the hour. I want to squeeze one more in here. Here's Brian in Norwalk, who's been patient. Brian, what's going on?
Hi, Chris. First time, long time.
Thanks for checking in, brother. How you doing?
Good. I'm doing great, considering.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that anyone that thinks that a 48-game season is worthless is crazy.
Why?
Because, well, it's going to be very exciting. Every game is going to be worth something. And I personally, I watch baseball for the game and the competition. Not the records come secondary.
Well, but I'm not even talking about the records. I watch the game for the game and the competition, but that's not a world champion you're crowning that is on the same level as other ones that you have before.
Yeah, but this year is different. This year is not necessarily, if when they win the World Series, they're going to get more of a COVID cup as opposed to a World Series.
Well, then don't hand out the trophy. Come up with something else, and thanks for the call. I actually heard something the other day that was a great idea. I wish I could find the tweet. Somebody tweeted, you know, considering everything we've been through, about a 42 or 47-game schedule, and you turn it into almost a tournament, getting to the postseason, and call it the Jackie Robinson Cup or something like that for this year, to be symbolic of what we've gone through this year, about hopefully the change that we're trying to lead to. We'll talk more about that next in a football sense, because maybe Roger Goodell is not where we should be pointing the finger right now. I'll explain in moments. It's Carlin, 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
You're going to have a potential of talk of a strike next spring. So we ask you for the third time in 3 months with baseball, are you going back? And the first time it was 85% yes. The second time it was 76% yes. Third time it's down to 57% right now with over 500 votes in. Go vote at Chris Carlin, at C-H-R-A-S-C-A-R-L-I-N. Now, I want to flip over to the NFL for a few minutes. I want you to take a listen, first of all, to a young man named Brendan Minter. Who is Brendan Minter? I believe his name is Brendan. So Brendan Minter is a young man that works for the NFL in video production. And a lot of people inside the league last week, after the death of George Floyd, were starting to get more and more impatient, people that were employees and such, more and more impatient, not thrilled with the league's statement on what happened. So Minter, who works for the league, reached out to Michael Thomas on his Instagram, explained who he was, and said, I'm thinking about trying to put together this video of high-profile players saying what the league should say. So think about that for a second. A guy who works for the league actively going out to reach out to Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints, sending him a direct message on Instagram, connected with him that way, and Michael Thomas immediately said, I'm in, and recruited the likes of Saquon Barkley and Odell Beckham Jr. and Patrick Mahomes, among others, to make that video that the players did last week. So, I have spent a lot of the day talking to people around the league. Listen to what Brandon Minter said this morning on Golic and Wingo in reference to, you know, what possibly we're hoping to see now come out of all of this. All of that video stuff led to Roger Goodell's video on Friday night and has led to teams, you know, having active conversation among their players like we saw with Joe Judge and the Giants last week. Listen to Minter from this morning.
Listening to and acknowledging our players, because I think, I mean, everyone can agree, the players are the most important thing to the league. Their personalities, their play, it's all about them. People care less about the teams they support and more about the players that they love, right? So listening to those voices is incredibly important, and I think that that finally happened this week was super powerful, and I think it is a good start. We are not finished whatsoever, but it is a good step in the right direction.
So this was a young man who was on game night last night who helped put together this video with the players against his own employer and said in advance, I was at peace knowing I could lose my job because it's something I felt like we needed to do. So think about that for a second. You know, something I felt like needed to be done. This is a young man who's white, who's, I think he's in his 30s, and he did that. Wasn't going to worry about losing his job in that instance. Was fully prepared to lose his job. And as the video was getting set to come out, gave the league a heads up, this is what's coming, so you know. I tell you what, that takes guts on that kid's part. But Roger Goodell had made up his mind as of Friday morning that he was going to respond. So, earlier today, I talked to three or four people around the league in different capacities. Number one, the first thing that they all say in reference to the NFL, and this is welcoming or welcomed, but you still feel like you want to take it with a grain of salt to a degree. This feels completely different than any other time that this has happened, that we've had issues like this before. Feels like there is a real movement that is going to take place because of this. Friday, apparently with the league, Goodell had 6 hours worth of Zoom calls, listening to people who work for the league from the inside, and you know, people having discussions with supervisors around the league as well. So among people that were working for the NFL this past week in different capacities, there were 6 hours of calls that took place and were described as emotionally charged in a lot of ways and very heavy. So there were real discussions happening. Now, I want to make sure that you understand, and when I say I talked to three or four different people in different capacities, none of them have any allegiance to Roger Goodell whatsoever. So after these 6 hours of calls, and it getting very emotional and very direct with the commissioner, who had already, as of that morning, made up his mind that he was going to respond the way that he did. People talking directly to him and doing what he did the other night, it was obviously welcomed by a lot of people. Now, there are critics who were saying, why didn't he mention Colin Kaepernick in it? Why didn't he do this? Why didn't he do that? Okay. I think you could point at any statement that he would have made, and you would have found fault with it somehow. But I'm giving him credit in this instance because he took the very essence of what that message was from players and repeated it in that message back and said almost to the word exactly what they wanted him to say. But it's all words at this point, right? Well, here's the other thing. Remember a few weeks back when we were talking about the incentivizing of hiring African-American head coaches and executives with draft picks? And part of my opinion at the time was I almost felt like, because I had heard before that, that Goodell had wanted to do something, had wanted to make some change, real change, in regards to this issue for a long time. And he said as much back at the Super Bowl, saying we are nowhere near where we need to be. So while that was a legitimate discussion, I also felt at the time that making that idea public, incentivizing the hiring of African-American coaches and executives by improving their draft picks, that was almost a way to embarrass the owners into understanding just how bad the situation had gotten. You know, hey, dopes, here's what we have to do because you have been so bad in this regard. We actually have to talk about improving draft picks to do this. This is what you've let happen. Now, Roger Goodell works for the owners and has wanted to do this for some time in terms of trying to make some change, but the owners are the ones that have been holding it back by the decisions that they have made in their hiring practices. Whether they're doing it intentionally or not, that's how it's gone. So I asked this question to a few people today. I explained what my thought process was. And back then, and, you know, was that possible with Friday, too, that he wasn't going out of his way to talk to a lot of owners before he made that statement? I don't get the impression that he was talking to a lot of owners before he made that statement. Again, delivering to them the message that we are going to effect real change here, whether you like it or not. In other words, whether you like me saying it or not. Again, trying to embarrass them into it. And as one person said to me today, well, think about it. If you're Roger Goodell and you want to embarrass them into doing it, what do you think they'd rather be embarrassed by? Him making that statement? Or people actually being correct that they're not hiring African-Americans, and they're not hiring for coaching positions and for GM positions? That's the one that's a lot more damaging to be embarrassed by. Let's call it what it is. Owners are old, rich, white men. That's what they are. 31 of them, plus the city of Green Bay. They are the definition of white privilege in a lot of ways. So if Goodell is doing all of this and is really delivering this message as the spokesperson for the league after he has, you know, taken, he has not handled a lot of things very well, I think he deserves some credit for handling this one in particular pretty well. But I would also say, it's not on him right now. It's on these owners. These owners in every single market have to show what they're committed to. I think a lot of owners have already. You look at the history of our two teams here in New York, and they have hired African Americans in positions of prominence before. Many times. So I think you have to acknowledge that that's been a fairly decent history around here. You look around the league, I gave you this stat a few weeks ago, although the Giants are one of these teams that's never hired an African-American head coach, nearly 40% of the league has never hired an African-American coach or team executive. Nearly 40%. That's a horrific number. Horrific. When the league is 70-plus percent African-American in terms of the players. So at this point, if that's what it's going to take for Roger Goodell to try to get some things done, if that's what it's going to take for some of these owners to get some things done, they're the ones we need to be pointing at and hammering on this issue. Because I do believe Goodell can only do so much. And it might not extend much beyond what he has done now in his words. What's the power behind it for him? He works for the owners. He has to do what they want for the most part, or he doesn't keep the job, right? Well, he's at least making public overtures and making public statements that these things have to change. The owners are the ones that now have to be held responsible for it. So while he is the figurehead of the owners, think about the owners in your own particular fandoms and what they have done and how they can be better.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it's Carlin at 800-919-3776. It is the time once again to start dialing for Beat the Fat Man. We have a couple of potential contestants on the line. Let's talk to Billy in Rockland. Hello, Billy.
Chris, how's it going, brother?
Good. How are you, Bill?
Long-time fan since you were on the other station. We spoke on your first night on when you got on ESPN. I spoke to you your first night. So
oh,
I love
nice.
You, man.
Nice. I appreciate that. Billy, you know your TV or what?
I know my TV. That's my one thing that I know a lot of useless information about TV and movies, but not know the stuff that you need to learn in school, unfortunately. That never stuck.
Well, I'm with you with that. Please hold, Billy. Please hold.
Yes, sir.
BK in Long Island. BK, what's going on?
Sir, what's up? How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Doing okay. Ready to beat the fat man.
Why do you think that you're worthy of an opportunity?
Why do I think I'm worthy of an opportunity?
That's what I said.
Think everybody's worthy of an opportunity.
BK, come on.
Tonight's my night.
Tonight is your night. Please hold. Well, Giselle, it would strike me that right out of the gate, we have two individuals who are feeling pretty good.
BK said it's his night.
You want to give him the opportunity first?
I think we give BK round one and we give Billy round two.
Well, BK, let's chat. You're up first right now. You are going to get your opportunity, and you sound as if you're feeling confident. How old of an individual are you?
Well, BK is old enough that he can hang up his phone at a bad time, so we're going to have to go with Billy.
Oh, BK!
Kind of dropped the ball there. Let's go to Billy.
Let's go to Billy. Billy will go first. Hello, Billy.
Hello, hello, guys.
Billy, how old are you?
I am 29.
29 years old. Are you on 29. A secure phone line?
Say again, sorry?
Are you on a secure phone line?
Yes, I am. Very secure.
Well,
so secure.
Let's see if we can make this happen by playing Beat the Fat Man at the Music.
How we ever
you know who shot Mr. Burns and what planet Alf comes from and who was on a break, then you might be able to beat the Fat Man.
Well, here we are again. We have lost BK, and somebody else will get an opportunity potentially. 800-919-3776. Billy is up first tonight in round one.
Billy. Well, you threw Simpsons, Merry with Children. You threw in Friends and Cheers. I love it.
All right, it's just the open. Relax. What's that laugh? You're like a Janice on Friends. What is that?
Oh, yeah, no, sorry. That won't happen again. We can't have that.
Hang on. Let's introduce once again our host for tonight's festivities, Giselle Hernandez. Giselle, explain the rules.
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hello, Billy, with your terrible laugh. All right, so here's the way the game works. I'm going to give you each three questions, one from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s of famous TV shows from network television, as requested by Chris Carlin. Whoever answers the most questions correctly is the winner. If the score is tied after three rounds, we'll have an overtime round, and whoever is the first to get that answer right will win the entire round.
Well, Billy, are you ready to make it happen, Captain?
I'm ready to make it happen.
All right. Giselle?
All right, so our contestant is going to get the first question, which means, Chris, you're out of here. All right, Billy, you ready?
I am ready.
All right, sir. Harold T. Stone was one of the leading characters in this 1980s TV show that lasted almost an entire decade. What was the name of the show?
Harold T. Stone. Was it, was it All in the Family?
I'm so sorry, Billy. It was not. Please hold. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
This is going to make you happy. He got question one wrong. Let's see how you do.
You can wait to tell me that until after I get it. We'll see.
Harold T. Stone was one of the leading characters in this 1980s show that lasted almost a decade. What was the name of the show?
Yeah, that's Night Court.
That is correct.
He, of course, played by Harry Anderson, the judge.
All right, Chris, you don't have to show
excellent
off.
Vehicle for John Larroquette as well as Marky Post.
Also the tallest cast in network television history.
Yes.
Now back to the isolation chamber you go. Hey, Billy.
I'm here, brother.
It's your turn for the 90s now. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. What never-seen Frasier character grew up wealthy thanks to the sale of urinal cakes?
Oh, man. I do not know this one.
Oh, come on, Billy. You're killing me, man.
Oh, brother, man. I do not know. Frasier was one of the shows I did not watch.
You got to give me an answer. Just throw out a name.
I'll just say Frasier, then. I know, obviously, it's not him.
So sorry, Billy. Hello, Chris.
Hi!
We've moved on to the 90s. Are you ready?
Yes.
What never-seen Frasier character grew up wealthy thanks to the sale of urinal cakes?
That would be Maris, the wife of Niles.
You got that one right, Chris.
Correct!
Oh, dear. Yes. You're going to be insufferable. Back to the isolation chamber you go. Hey, Billy.
Hey.
Last question here, man.
I'm blowing this one.
All right. On the Big Bang Theory, what is the name of Raj's dog?
Raj's dog. What is the name of Raj's dog? Flash?
Oh, Billy, you're killing me, man.
Oh, no.
Hey, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Last question. On the Big Bang Theory, what is the name of Raj's dog?
Oh. Female. I don't remember.
Don't want to care to guess?
Daisy.
It doesn't matter anyway.
What was it?
It was Cinnamon.
Cinnamon! Okay. I wouldn't have gotten that, but I should have known that. Anyway, did he get anything right?
He got nothing right, Chris.
Billy?
No.
As a representative of the millennials, you once again have proven that they are a massive group
failed.
Of...
You let me down, Billy. You let me down.
I'm so sorry, but you know what? It was awesome playing with you guys. This was great. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to at least embarrass myself here.
Well, that you did, my friend, especially with that laugh. Good luck, Billy. Good luck in life. You're going to need it.
Oh, boy, Chris. Well, I guess that means that you are the big winner.
19-6. Why don't you bring me someone worthy? Oh, my Lord. We have round two coming up. Your opportunity to try to beat the fat man, although I'm not seeing much right now. 800-919-3776. For those that don't get it, that's you dialing the phone to call me and try to take me on in television trivia. Apparently, those that get through don't quite get that concept. Giselle, would you agree that was an utter embarrassment of Billy?
I am highly disappointed in Billy.
And I didn't know cinnamon. I wouldn't have remembered cinnamon. I've watched Big Bang Theory enough, but all I remembered it was that it was a female dog and it was an uncomfortable relationship.
He said he'd never seen Frasier. Why are you calling in if you've never seen Frasier?
Oh, my God. Go home. Just go home.
Just embarrassing.
I mean, I'll give you the $10. Get Netflix. It wouldn't kill you. All right? Catch up. Wow. Well, we have another contestant to select when we come back. 800-919-3776. If you don't know how to work a remote control, don't bother. Don't waste my time. Don't come on this show and use up my precious air. Because right now, you have not proven yourselves worthy. Get on the phones. We'll come back. We'll find if we can get somebody that actually has a clue. 913. I'm disgusted with
you. You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Billy was lovely. All right? He just, you know, should you call in if you don't know the slightest thing about Frasier? My guess is probably not. Probably not. So, we have incited quite the response. Let's vet some of our potential contestants, hopefully a little bit better this time. Chris in Staten Island. Hello, Chris.
How's it going?
Why should I even bother with you?
I don't know who you should bother with, period, after following Billy. That's a tough one to follow.
You know your stuff, Chris?
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty sure I've wasted about 10 years of my life, so I'm hoping that it'll pay off somehow during this.
All right, you kind of get me. Hold on. Derek in Yorktown. Derek, why should we try you?
I don't know if it means much or not. I work in the healthcare industry, so I've been there for 3 months, so I'm ready for some reprieve, and hopefully could boost my morale a little bit.
Gotcha. So okay. Do you know your stuff?
Fairly well, yes. I've become a TV junkie over the past few months, too, so
all right.
Might help.
Stand by. Tugging at the heartstrings. Tom in Lynbrook. Tom, what's up?
Hey, Chris. You know what? I think you should give it to the healthcare worker.
Wow. That's a hell of a job by you, Tom. That's a hell of a job by you.
They did the right thing for a long time, so it's something they should get.
All right. Thank you, Tom. You know what? Giselle, Tom's right. I shouldn't even vet anybody else. Derek, you're going to get your shot here.
So now pressure's on. Jeez.
Listen, you've had a lot more pressure the last few weeks. What exactly do you do?
I work with the IT department, so we obviously not seeing patients face-to-face, but making sure all the medical equipment, and being it 2020, a lot of that equipment is network-based, so making sure everything's up and running so that the patients could talk on the phones and they could get their meds is an important part of my job.
That's a very important part of your job. All right. Giselle? Are we ready to go here with Derek?
Yes, we are.
All right, so just let it fly. We don't even need the intro again. Just hit the music. And, Derek, you understand the rules?
Yes, I do.
All right. Giselle, let's make it happen.
All right, guys. Chris, you're going bye-bye for a little bit.
Maybe I'll take it a little bit easier on you after I beat your ass.
Oh, don't fake being nice, Chris. Nobody believes you. All right, Derek, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing all right, doing all right. All right, our first question is from the 80s. What long-running sitcom revealed on its final episode that its lead character wore a hairpiece?
Frasier.
Ah, oh, come on, bro. Derek. Don't do this to me, man.
I know, this sucks.
hang on.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
How you doing, man? You ready for the first question?
Sure.
All right. What long-running sitcom revealed on its final episode that its lead character wore a hairpiece?
On its final episode?
Yep. In the last episode, they revealed that this character wore a hairpiece.
Well, it wasn't the... If it's what I think it is... Well, they revealed in the last season that Sam Malone wore a hairpiece. But it was not the final episode. That is incorrect.
You take that up with Joel.
Joel Pollack, you and I are going to have a problem. That is incorrect. It was the last season, not the last episode.
Getting not, real Stump the Schwab vibes here, Chris.
Not the last episode. It was in the last season that it was revealed that Sam wears a hairpiece. Which is why, call me for a second, all right, is there one I'm not thinking of? But no, that was Sam in Cheers. Did he get it correct?
He did not, Chris. You're up 1-0.
Okay.
Back to the isolation chamber you go. Hey, Derek, how you doing, man? Chris got that one right. Let's see if you can get this one right. In the 90s, what was the name of the show that lost Jim Carrey when he became a movie star? Really famous TV show. Jim Carrey was on it. He left to make movies.
In the 90s.
You got to give me an answer, man.
Mr. Pickles?
Oh, come on, man. You're killing me. You're killing me, Derek. Please hold. Hey, Chris.
Wow.
Yeah, you can tell how happy I am with Derek.
Go ahead.
1990s. What was the name of the show that lost Jim Carrey when he became a movie star?
In Living Color.
Nah, I'm just messing with you. All right, Chris, back to the isolation chamber with you. Hey, Derek. Bad news. Chris got that one right, so you can't win, but you can at least go out on a high note. 2000s. In the hit series The Sopranos, this character was the owner and head chef of the restaurant Nuovo Vesuvio.
Artie.
You got one, man. Good job.
Great. If I got that wrong, I would have been embarrassed. My Italian genetic family would have been embarrassed with me.
Oh, please hold on.
What he's saying right now.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
It doesn't matter. You already won.
I know, but still.
2000s. In the hit series The Sopranos, this character was the owner and head chef of the restaurant Nuovo Vesuvio.
Yeah, that's Artie Bucco.
Oh, boy. All right.
Derek,
Chris stomped.
I'm disappointed in you, but I'm not, because you've got the hardest job. You're doing the right stuff right now, or you're doing the hard stuff right now while I'm sitting in the sandbox. So we're going to get you a lovely parting gift and get you an ESPN prize pack. Even though
I appreciate that.
Even though you really, really, boy, did you suck as a contestant.
Horrible.
Derek, please hold.
Thank you.
We're going to have a discussion for a second. Giselle.
Yes, sir.
I mean, all right, we did the right thing. We brought Derek in. We gave him a chance.
We did.
This is, I mean, when are you going to bring me somebody that has ability?
You know what? We actually have somebody on hold who I think can beat you because he's already done it.
I'm sorry, what?
We've got Dave from Edison on the line.
Oh.
Dave beat you on our very first test run of Beat the Fat Man.
When it didn't count.
Yes, when it didn't count.
Hi, Dave. How are you? Dave!
It's a shame. We would have tied at 3 on that last one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm calling an audible round 3 when we come back. 9:26. Okay. Sit tight. It's time for you to take your medicine.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
An unprecedented situation tonight. It's round 3 of Beat the Fat Man. Dave and Edison, you'll recall, on our test run several months ago, actually beat me when it didn't count. Not unlike a preseason game. Not unlike the fourth preseason game where you sit your starters. Hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Good. So you're flying high off that preseason win.
Yep, I'm raring to go.
All right. Giselle, they wanted more abuse. Here comes more abuse. Let's do it.
All right, guys. Hey, Dave. Hey, Chris. Welcome to round 3 of Beat the Fat Man.
Give me some energy. Let's go.
All right, you guys ready? Oh, get out of here. All right. Dave, you ready for question 1 from the 90s? Or yep. From the 80s, I'm sorry. What is MacGyver's first name?
Angus.
Ooh, good job, Dave. Please hold. Hey, Chris. Mm-hmm. Dave came to play.
Okay.
1980s. What is MacGyver's first name?
Ooh. It's not Everett.
No, it's not. Or is it?
It's not. He was the ridiculous left tackle the Jets played in there when Bruce Smith cleaned Boomer's clock. I don't remember, so I'm just going to guess and say Thomas?
Ooh, it's Angus.
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 Tough.
You are now behind 1-0.
So Dave did come to play. All
yep.
Right.
Back to the isolation chamber with you. Dave, my man.
Okay.
Ready for the 90s question?
Yep.
What gritty 1990s TV drama series is subtitled Life on the Street?
Homicide?
Woo! Good job, Dave.
Thanks.
All right, man, please hold. Chris!
Yeah?
Things are looking up. 1990s, you ready?
But hang on a second. Before you give it to me, this is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about your personal bias.
I mean, it's fun when you lose.
See, that's the thing. You have a bias against me.
If the hero doesn't get beat up, then it's boring.
Ask your question.
All right. What gritty 1990s TV drama series is subtitled Life on the Street?
I know that. Oh, crap. It's a cop show. NBC.
Got to give me a guess.
I got nothing. Damn it.
It's Homicide.
Damn it. Oh,
I know. Oh, it stings.
How could I forget that?
All right, Chris, back to the isolation chamber.
I've already lost. God, that bad.
Dave.
This is great. Yes.
All right. This one is just for style points. You ready?
Yep.
What was the name of the Republican lawyer hired by the Bartlett White House on the West Wing?
Oh, no. She was on CSI Miami. Ainsley Hayes?
Ooh, Dave. You did it to him. Please hold, man. Chris.
Yeah.
Welcome back from isolation.
Yeah.
What was the name of the Republican lawyer hired by the Bartlett White House on the West Wing?
Oh, Oliver Babish.
Oh, oh, Chris. Oh, come on, man.
Ainsley Hayes, what am I saying?
It is indeed Ainsley Hayes.
Oh, terrible job by me.
Which Dave also got correct, meaning Dave is the big winner tonight.
Wow.
Yes.
I can't believe
like
I overspoke.
Bruins Rangers. Yes.
Wow. It was Ainsley Hayes. What the hell? What am I doing? I was so ticked off from before I rushed the answer. I'll tell you what.
Okay, Chris.
You earned it. You earned it. I'll tell you what. Angus and Homicide Life. I can't believe I forgot Homicide. That's terrible. That's awful. Awful. All right, Dave, you won what it counted, but I mean, I you know, it is suspect that our host is taking so much joy that it makes me think that maybe him hinting at a third round to me during the commercial and me buying in when you called in, maybe it was all a setup. It's like your own little version of banging on the garbage can.
I wasn't involved in that.
I don't know. It sounds sketchy to me. Sketchy. See, hear that? Sketch? Giselle, sketch.
There was no cheating in this episode of Beat the Fat Man.
Shirt. I'm good.
Feels like a setup. Well, Dave, you won, so you get your prize pack and, you know, enjoy that. I feel I got screwed here, but that's okay. I guess it can happen every once in a while. It just so happens Giselle always happens to be involved when I do get hosed. Thank you, Dave. Congratulations, I guess. Wow. That was disappointing. I mean, I even rushed the answer. I rushed it. What am I doing? See, Giselle? I don't know how you sleep at night.
Very well.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.